Please turn your Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 3. Thank you for allowing me to be on vacation last week. And I did go to church, Pidcote Baptist Church over in Texas. I do have a bulletin. Many of you, when you go on vacation or out, you know, when it's a legitimate time out, you'll bring me a bulletin. All the other times, I don't get bulletins from you, but I do have a bulletin if you would like to see it. But thank you for allowing me to be out last Sunday. I appreciate Brother Chuck Withers filling the pulpit and Mikey Sunday night. Mikey Snell preaching Sunday night for me. Brother Larry Laurent last Wednesday, and I appreciate those three gentlemen. And some years ago, when you called me as your pastor, I was somewhat of a young man. And I just want to tell you, this Sunday, I'm going to start using glasses. Okay? And I also gave myself a haircut. And Alicia came home and said, "What in the world have you done?" I said, "I gave myself a haircut. That's what I did." And so, Happy New Year to you. New person this morning in front of you. Proverbs chapter 3 that we're looking at this morning. Will this be the year? Will this be the year? Proverbs chapter 3, we'll read verses 1 and 2. "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you." Let's pray. Lord, how we do need you. And Lord, not only the practical aspect of your wisdom, but Lord, may the wisdom from you from on high dwell in our hearts and lives, so that most of all we can be witnesses for you this coming year. And Lord, that no matter what may happen, whatever will happen in this new year, Lord, that we will trust in you and be people of the kingdom, people that will always point others to you, Lord Jesus. And I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Will this be the year? You know, beginning of a new year, we make new commitments, it seems like. I'm not going to say resolutions, but, you know, as God's people, sometimes we need to commit or recommit in certain areas of our life. And yet sometimes we forget about it. It's like the gentleman who moved into a retirement home, and he was the new man on the block, you know, and was meeting some nice ladies. And he and one lady, you know, got along very well and became very close friends. And one day he decided to ask her to marry him. He proposed, and she said yes. So they, you know, went to their rooms and went to sleep, and the next morning he remembered proposing to her but forgot what she had said. So he went to her and said, "I remember proposing to you, but I apologize. I just don't remember what you said back to me." And she said, "Well, I remembered saying yes to something, but I didn't know what it was." So a lot of times with our recommitments or commitments in life, after a while we seem to forget, don't we? We forget the commitment about our first love, the Lord Jesus Christ, it seems like. And we get pulled away, and it becomes easier and easier to get pulled away, and then it's so hard to come back to that commitment. But will this be the year? I'm going to ask some questions and you think about them. They may apply to you or they may not. Will this be the year that you'll exercise and eat right? Will this be the year? You know, one lady walked into the bathroom and her husband was on the bathroom scales and he was like this. This is how I take pictures, by the way. He was like all sucked in and everything on the bathroom scales. And she said, "Honey, that's not going to help you." He says, "What do you mean? I can see the numbers." I can see the numbers. But will this be the year? Will this be the year that you make relationships work? Relationships that maybe forgiveness and mercy and grace need to be applied. Will this be the year that for the young people, the one that you'll find that you'll love for the rest of your life, will this be the year? Or will this be the year that I have a child or have another child? Will this be the year that I will be healed? Will this be the year that I get the news that I have a terminal illness? Will this be the year that that the financial collapse of America will occur that we've heard about? Will this be the year that we have a war of stupidity in America? Will this be the year? Will this be the year that terrorists hit our homeland again? And it may be worse than what it was before. Will this be the year that we experience another hurricane in Louisiana? Will this be the year that of being serious about my commitment to marriage, my commitment to friendships, my commitment to the church that Christ loved and gave himself for her? Will this be the year that I'll be committed more to my family, my church family? Or will I just remain the same as most Americans, focused on self? Will this be the year that Jesus returns? Will this be the year that Jesus actually returns and the lawless one appears and then Jesus comes back? The signs are here, is it not? A great falling away. They don't necessarily mean church attendance. There are churches today with thousands in attendance. But what it means, they've fallen away from the truth of God's Word, not believing God's Word as we should. But will this be the year? We're going to get in Proverbs chapter 3 this morning, and we're going to look at ways of how we can be committed or recommit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And again, it all has to do with His Word. His Word. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." You see, mercy and truth. Don't forsake these things. Don't forsake mercy, being a merciful person. Why? Because you have received mercy, have you not? And Jesus said it like this, Blessed are those who are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So, to be one of the most merciful people you can possibly be is to share Jesus with someone who's going to die and go to hell without Jesus. If you really want to be merciful, share Jesus with people. But again, it goes practical wisdom is being merciful and understanding and being very forgiving with other people. That's the practical side of this wisdom. But be merciful in truth. You see, truth, that refers to God's Word. If you want to know everything about truth and something that will not ever lie to you, that is God's Word. God's Word is truth. Jesus is the truth. So, truth. Put them around your neck. Put them in your heart. And meditate upon these things, upon God's Word. Next, what can we do? Verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. So trusting in the Lord. This is more than just saying it with our mouth. This is actually living trust, believing what God says. And He will direct your paths and make your paths, you know, straight before you. And it's His Word again. His Word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. So this commitment of being a better Christian, a commitment of being a child of God, again, it applies trusting what God says in His Word. And lean not on your own understanding, it says. In other words, don't be a know-it-all. Amen? Don't be a know-it-all. That goes along with verses 7 and 8. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. So, believing what God says more than your opinion. Believe what God says about sin and not your opinion or somebody else's opinion. Trust in what God says. And lean not on your understanding, and don't be wise in your own eyes. Because you know why? You may be like me. I can justify any sin I commit, can't you? We can. But when God says it's sin, therefore, what is it? It's sin. Doesn't matter what you and I justify. If God says that's sin, then it's sin. Don't be wise in your own eyes. But trust in the Lord and what He says. Let's move on. Verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. This concerns tithing. It concerns giving. It concerns giving an offering unto the Lord, which is an act of worship when we give to the Lord. But notice again, I want to point out verse 9 to you. It says, honor the Lord. Lord, a covenant name for God concerning our giving and giving to the Lord. Lord is the covenant name for God. And I believe with all my heart that when we give as a cheerful giver, when we give tithes and offerings, that we are in a special covenant with God, that He even uses that special name for Himself when we honor the Lord, the covenant name for God, in our giving. We enter in a special covenant with Him when we give. What else can we do? What God says we can do. Verse 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. God does chasten us, doesn't he? As his children. Just like as the father, I had to correct my children. I had to chasten them. Lewis especially. That boy needed it a lot. But if the Lord loves you, he will chasten you. But the most primary, I don't know about the sicknesses we go through or the hurts and tragedies. I know we're tested. I know God does not tempt us. Does he ever tempt us. But we go through things for us to draw closer to him. And the testing is for our good. But I do know this. Primarily, he chastens his child by his word. I don't know about you, but I can read God's word and come under great conviction. A rebuke from his word that I have to change. My heart has to change. And sometimes I can hear a preacher preach and come under great conviction. Yes, it encourages me mostly. It comforts me. And there's those times that I'm chastened by his word. And if you're in a close walk with the Lord, a word from him is enough many times to correct us. I know as a pastor through the years, standing at the back door, none of y'all may not go out the back door today after I say what I say. Y'all may go through the side door. But I've seen people through the years under so much conviction that they are fighting back the tears, or they are crying, and they're under conviction that they need to repent and turn to Christ. And they're under great conviction of the Holy Spirit, and they go because God's word touched their heart, and they leave out, and they'll sometimes won't come back. They don't like the chastening. People sometimes, by the way, don't get mad at me. I'm preaching God's word. Don't be mad at me when you go out the door next week when you see me. Because of what God said. I've seen people mad. You see. And it's the Lord speaking to their hearts. You see, this message may speak to Miss Barbara different than it may speak to my wife Alicia. And one will receive comfort from it. One will say, well, how come you brought up about your haircut? You see. But it speaks to all of us differently. But the Lord chastens those whom he loves, and it's primarily through his word that he does this. Let's read on. Verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. See, the wisdom, especially in God's word, there's two aspects of wisdom, and that is practical wisdom. That if you are merciful, people will be nice to you. If you want to have friends, then show yourself to be friendly. If you don't want to have friends, then be mean to everybody or don't speak to nobody, and more than likely you won't have. That's practical wisdom that is in God's word. But then there is spiritual wisdom. There's two aspects of wisdom, and the spiritual wisdom that we are to seek out, and it's more precious than gold and silver to us. And that is, listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22-25. You can turn there, keep your finger there in Proverbs, or look on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're talking about increasing in wisdom. Do you want to be wiser spiritually? Here's the answer to that. And it's more precious to us than silver or gold. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. For the Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Listen to me. If you want to increase in spiritual wisdom, get closer to Jesus. Did you hear me? If you want to grow in wisdom, God's wisdom, the answer is get closer to Jesus. May He be the example of your life. May the Word that became flesh dwell in your heart. If you want to become a better person for God, then get closer to Jesus. That's the answer. Yes, you can learn practical wisdom all you want to, but if you want to be saved from your sins and you want to live a godly life and you want to get closer to God and have His wisdom, the only way is through Jesus. Amen, church? Amen. He is the wisdom of God. You ain't going to find wisdom of God any other place than in Jesus. Jesus. But see, the world says it's foolishness. But to us who are saved, it is the power of God. So, wisdom, more precious than silver or gold. Let's move on, verse 25 and 26. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. So do not fear. Believe God. Trust in Him. With all the uncertainties, is this the year for the good, or is this the year for the bad? Whatever may come our way, we as a child of God need not fear. Do not let anxiety build up in your life. Do not let depression build up in your life. Don't let the stress bring you down. If you need professional help, get professional help. But most of all, trust in the Lord. Trust in what He believes. And do not fear. Because heads we win, tails we win. We can't lose with Jesus, can we? Stay with Jesus. Verse 27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you. Do not withhold good. Help the needy. Those whom it is due. Sometimes we're taken advantage of, yes. But when you can help those whom it is due, help them. Help the needy. Help those who need help. Reward those whom it is due. Don't withhold good. By the way, the spiritual part of that is the, may I say, the goodest thing you can give is to share Jesus. Share Jesus with them. Live Jesus in front of them. That's the greatest need of mankind. Verse 29. Do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Do not strive with a man without cause, if he has done you no harm. Sometimes people love to stir things up, but we as Christians, we should not. Live with your neighbor with peace when possible. Jesus said, be at peace when possible. Do all that you can to be at peace. Now, some of my neighbors, Ronald James, my neighbor, pray for me. No, he's a good neighbor. But again, be good to your neighbors. Why? It goes back to being a witness for Jesus Christ. Always have an avenue open when you can share Jesus with your neighbors. Because you know what? Once they become Christians and really love Jesus, that's the best neighbor to have anyway. Amen? When he has done you no harm, it says, last one, verse 31. Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. Do not envy a violent man. You know, that kind of gives correction to my heart. You know what kind of movies I like to watch? Revenge. Or cut them up, sword fighting. The Word of God says, don't envy that. Don't envy the violent man. Don't learn his ways. Why? Because we are supposed to be gentle as doves. We are to be meek. Being meek, does that mean we're weak? No, folks, it takes more strength to be meek than to get revenge. Don't learn their ways. Don't envy the violent man. I'm concerned about what the children are playing on their Xboxes, and I don't know the names of the new games. It was Game Boy when my son was small, or Nintendo. But it seems like most of the games are violent. And now America is full of violence. And then when a man or woman with authority says, don't do that, and they don't care if that man or woman in authority or a police officer or anybody says this is what the law says, and they don't care about it. Why? Because of the violence that we're watching and allowing them to watch. But don't envy the violent man. And please listen. Here's the blessing. When we live this way with God's help, we need God's help to do this, don't we? Here's the blessing. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but he gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. Will this be the year? Will this be the year that we make our recommitments or make commitments to living for the Lord in such a way that we can be a dynamic witness to our neighbors and to our community? Will this be the year? With God's help, we can do this. Amen. Now this morning, maybe you need to trust Jesus initially as your Lord and Savior. Maybe the Holy Spirit is touching your heart and saying you need to be saved. You need to place your life in Christ this morning. Maybe this is the morning for that. I'll be here to help you in any way I can. And I challenge you, child of God, to make these commitments along with myself, with God's help, to live godly before our community. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you for your precious word. Again, may your wisdom, Lord, be more precious to us than anything else on this earth. And Lord, may it be so precious that we will actually believe and trust and live it for your glory. And again, I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please stand. I'll be here to help you in any way I can.